Luke 22, I am going to begin. For time's sake, let's just go down to, verse 28. Now realize this is the Lord's Supper. This is the Last Supper. The Lord is invoking a kingdom to the disciples that the Father had given to him. He was given to them. And so they're wrestling with what is the kingdom still going to look like at this point, right? They are seemingly unaware of the betrayal. They're seeing, you know, these things went over their head. They thought that Jesus was going to sit on David's throne, that the Romans were going to be dispelled, and all these things are happening. This is really heavy stuff. And Jesus says, you know, one of these folks that are sitting beside me right now is going to betray me. And the guys begin to ask, who's going to betray? And then they begin to debate, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And then Jesus says this, verse 28, you are those who have stayed with me in my trials. And I assigned to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom that you may eat at the table, at my table in my kingdom, and sit upon thrones of judgment over the 12 tribes. And Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Do you know what that means? Satan had to ask permission. Did you hear that? Satan had to ask permission. He's demanded to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for your faith that it might not fail. And when you have been turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, before the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you even know me. And I'll just stop right there. Father, we want to be in the middle of what you're doing today. You said that you're not going to, you never prayed to take us out of the world, but to keep us from evil, to keep us from the evil one. Lord, we stand upon your promise this morning, Lord, that those that are yours, that Satan has no power over us. And so, Lord, do whatever you need to do inside of us this morning. Have your way. Be glorified, Lord. Lord, I hold my hands out this morning. And I say it with all my brothers and sisters, just do what you've got to do to make me who I'm supposed to be for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin to look at this, I love Peter. I mean, he gets a bad rap. Thomas gets a bad rap because he was doubting, you know. It's real easy to hindsight 2020 to see the faults and the failures. But understand this, Peter just got the keys to the kingdom. Peter's going to sit on a throne in the kingdom of God judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Peter got a new name, a new identity. Peter walked on water, right? And Peter was ready to fight or run a foot race for Jesus. Can I just say that? And the proof was in the pudding. What Peter said, he literally meant, because he was the one that cut the ear off of the guard at the arrest of Jesus Christ. So this guy was serious about it. Very serious. Jesus says something to him. He says, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that you wouldn't cuss out kids. He did. I prayed for you that you wouldn't backslide. No, he didn't. There's a lot of things he could have prayed. I prayed for you that Satan wouldn't sift you. That would have been really fun. That would have been nice. That Satan would not have a power or authority to sift me. Jesus didn't pray for that. He prayed this. He said, I pray for you that through the process of the sifting, that what's left of you will be grounded in faith in me. After the sifting, can I just share something with you? I believe what is happening in our nation right now is sifting. It's a sifting. See, there's like times and seasons where things grow. Do you realize there's seasons where righteousness grows underground? And there's seasons where wickedness grows underground. And there's seasons when the fruitfulness of both of these things are exposed for all to see. And I'm going to tell you what I believe, that we are in that season right now. Things are being exposed in Hollywood that blow my mind. Now, I think that this is something, let me tell you something. This is not stuff that is just happening now. This has been going on for a long time. It's just coming to the surface in the season of the sift. I believe this, and I've had many of my friends in ministry tell me this that are very prophetic. In fact, Bill Vanderbush said this. He said, God's going to do in 10 years what used to take 100. I believe there's a quick word. There's a sifting in the nations. We've never seen happen in the nations what's happening in the nations, good and bad. Can I just say that? Good and bad. They're sifting in the media. They're sifting in politics. They're sifting in society and cultural norms. There is sifting in our families. I believe what's happened with COVID, and how many know, God, for all of us that know better, I just feel like I need to say it. God is not the author of COVID or confusion or sickness or death, but God can use an assault from the enemy to turn around for the good of God's people. He can turn it on a dime. The slowing down of our society. Can't go out to eat. Me and Melanie went out to go out to eat the other day up in Plainfield. Why did we go to 3 or 4 restaurants before we could find one open? That's crazy. Can't go out to eat. Can't play sports. It's kind of hard to go on a date. You got to actually look at your kids. See, there's something called weapons of mass distraction. And up to this happening, disclaimer, it's not God. It's not God. God didn't do it. God's going to use it. God will use the devil for our good. And so next thing you know, I'm having to look at our children from the dinner table. We're having to spend time with our spouse. We're having to talk. And what happens is through this, the slowing down of society is speeding up the work of God in us. Because some people that have had their kids in daycare or shipping them off to school every week, and all of a sudden we got 2 months stuck with them, and we wake up and we find out we don't like our kids very much, but we love them. Can't wait till these kids grow up. What's happening is God is sifting areas of dysfunction in your life. He's bringing things to the surface. He's allowing things to slow down, to be sped up in our personal maturity. Jesus said this about himself: unless a piece of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains alone. If Jesus had to be sifted, what do you think about us? It remains alone. The sifting process, I believe, is going to bring back and out a speedy resurrection of his promises in our life. If we will endure. If we will stay with it. When I first got born again, I got pulled out of the mountain. Right? I got pulled out of the mountain. I got pulled out of the world system. Jesus said that Satan is the god of this world. I changed gods. I changed position. I went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. And now all of a sudden I find myself, I am out of the mountain and I've got some gold in me. God mined me out. But now God's got to get the mountain out of the gold. Not just the gold out of the mountain. That's the refining process. That's the threshing of the wheat. That's the removing of the inferior. And all of a sudden, I'm born again. I'm taken out of the mountain. Now God begins to crush and mold. In fact, the Bible says this in Malachi, the third chapter. It says, who shall abide in the day of his coming? Talking about Jesus. It says, because he sits like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap to thoroughly purge us. I get born again. Next thing you know, what happens is all of a sudden, a cuss word pops up. Attitude. I mean, some of us, I'm just going to speak in general. How many of us have things boiled up in our life through this time that we thought maybe was taken care of? Insecurities, jealousies, fears, anxieties begin to bubble up. So all of a sudden, I'm born again, and things begin to bubble up in my life, and I'm saved. And I start feeling condemned. I start beating myself up. And Jesus says, no, man, it's all good. It's all good. You know, you did this before and didn't care. Now you actually care. Don't beat yourself up. You're not going backwards when these things happen. These things are coming to the surface. I'm removing them like a cancer. I'm taking away the chaff. I'm removing the inferiority. I'm taking the dross off of the silver. I'm boiling it in this fiery furnace. I'm forging your faith. This is what is actually mining your depth of devotion for me and my perfect work in you. And so these things begin to boil up in my life, and I would say, Lord, take it away, take it away. And some things he would, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't just things being taken out of me and out of my character, it was people being removed from me. I mean, sifting's one thing when you're trying not to say that word anymore. But sifting's another when close personal relationships start to leave you. And you're running and you're trying to save the relationships. And so I remember I felt like I was losing everything in the sift. I felt like I was losing my family, losing my friends. I thought I was going to lose my home. I thought I was going to lose my car. I was losing everything externally. It wasn't what was happening externally to me either. What was happening externally through the sift was revealing internal things inside of me that I wasn't sure I was ready to get rid of. So what happens is I feel like I'm losing everything. I call it depression or call it a freak out moment or whatever. Call it a panic attack. I was just brokenhearted. And I backslid for about a half an hour after a year in church, three times a week, and teaching Sunday school. And when I'm sitting there in my house, I felt so condemned. I said I'd never go back to that false sense of peace and deny you. Does that sound familiar? I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never betray you. But the fact of the matter is I was basing some things on my own strength and not the Lord's strength. I thought, man, with my testimony, there's no way I'm ever going to do that again. I did. I backslid for about a half an hour. And I sat there and I felt miserable. You know, sin isn't fun after you know the Lord. Can I have a witness on that? I'm going to say that. If you've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, what happens is, takes all the fun out of sin because you have a conscience now, right? So I'm sitting there in my house and I just broke down. I said, forgive me, Lord. I said, take the house, take the car, take the job, take the family, take the friends, but don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take it from me. You can have it all. You can sift it all. You can sort it all out. But don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And I called out to Jesus, and he said, here I am. He never left me. He wasn't, not only was he not offended at my sin, he was not surprised. He was not surprised. He told Peter, you know, you're going to backslide for a little bit. You're going to cuss some kids out. You're going to deny me. And at the end of that crushing, what's going to happen is you're going to find that at the rock bottom, that I am the rock at the bottom. And that when you are all that I have, you are all that I need. I found that out. How many of you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? With, I would say, with the evidence of tongues. I believe in the power of God. I like what John says here in Matthew, the third chapter. We're going to have some baptisms today, by the way. He said, I baptize you with water under repentance. It says, but after me is coming one who is mightier than I. It says, I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. How many of you want baptized with the Holy Ghost? And with fire. How many of you want baptized with fire? Oh, really? I used to stop at that and say, I want the Holy Ghost. I don't just want the Holy Ghost. I want the fire too. Keep reading. He baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat. That is the sifting process. The fire is not you running around the church. The fire is the holiness of God sorting out the things in your life and taking all of that stuff and burning it, because it then says, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. Can I have a witness? Everything, it says in Hebrews the 12th chapter, that can be shaken will be shaken. For the sole purpose of this, for the sole purpose of to reveal that which is unshakable. So that we don't build our houses on sandcastles. So that we don't build our lives on things that don't matter. It amazes me how so many people forfeit that which could never be taken from them to gain something they will never keep. Oh, you think Bob is so good you're going to leave Steve versus Bob? Right? It's not grounded in the Lord. You know what's going to happen is you're not going to keep any of it. These weapons of mass distraction, this slowdown right now, is a speed up for the greatest, let me tell you, the greatest time in our history is about, that this could be the greatest opportunity for America that we have ever experienced. And it doesn't matter if you want to be sifted or not. The question is at the end of the sifting, are you going to have faith that remains? I see people fall away. During these hard times, things bubble up to the surface. I believe what's happening is God is rebooting America. I believe he's speeding up the righteousness that establishes, I'm talking through imperfect people, imperfect systems, there is still a seed of faith in this nation. And we're going to say, we're going to see the crazy get crazier. And we're going to see the righteous get more committed. And I believe that we are going to see a tipping point in society. I think demons are manifesting. They're screaming. People who have highly educated and have degrees are talking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Alternative universe stuff. But think it not strange. Peter later said in his epistle, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that came against you when you first believed it. Don't think this is strange. I'll tell you this. If we will look at this from the eyes of the Lord, we will see that we will not take $1 million personally, each one of us, to go through what we're going through and what we're about to go through. And that's not doom and gloom. I'm just saying. I wouldn't take $1 million to be sifted again like I did in that season of my life. In the early days, I also would not take $1 million for the grace and the faith that landed in my lap, the goodness that chased me down and tackled me immediately after that. I always say this. I said, I hate pain in vain, but I'm okay with pain with a purpose, right? I say, Lord, get it out of me. Work it out of my life. David said this, before I was afflicted, I strayed, but after I was afflicted, after the sifting, after the refining, after you putting me in a position where the only thing that was a stable in my life was you, he said, I learned your precepts and you established my goings. He's perfecting you. He's perfecting us as a collective soul, as a nation. You do realize what's happening in America. I know it's got to be God involved, because it's not just happening, it's happening everywhere. It's like this stuff is happening. Yeah, Portland's on fire, Baltimore's on fire, New York's on fire, you know. Seattle's on fire. Yeah, but so is Paris. So is Berlin. So we see this spirit. I said this the last time I preached, the week before last. The devil's come out with great wrath, having knows but a short time, and power is given to him. Maybe to sift us. So that God can perfect us in this season. I'm looking at a bunch of giants in this place this morning. I'm looking at a bunch of people that say, you know what? I will sow it, sell it, or burn it, but I'm not going to give up my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to get lazy. And when God begins to bubble up the chaff in my life, I'm not going to blame my husband, my wife, or my kids for it. I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to escape into lesser lovers, alternative lifestyles, placebos, and get busy so I don't have to deal with my stuff. I want to pray for us this morning. Is that okay? Anybody say some things that bubbled up in the last 6 months in your life? The slowdown is a speed up. I declare that over us. The slowdown is a speed up. The external slowdown in our life is an internal speed up in maturity and growth. And if bad things have happened, it's not the Lord. But as Chip said this morning, Pastor Chip said, he can make it all work for the good. He can turn it on a dime. And I believe that we are heading to some suddenlies. I don't think this thing's going to drag on for years, the crises that we're dealing with right now. I think God's bringing it to the surface so he can deal with some of this stuff in a generation once and for all. Right? And let's stand to our feet this morning. Jesus. I had a friend named Johnny. Johnny was crazy, and he got drunk one night and wrecked his car. Went through the windshield of his car. The thing shattered. He's in the hospital for a few days. And then he healed up. But then what would happen? I mean, he was wounded because he made some mistakes. Okay? Can't blame anybody else for that. God was merciful to make sure he didn't die. But he said for years after that, every once in a while he'd get a boil or a pimple on his arm. It just pop up in different spots in his body. And when that thing would come to a head, not to get gross, I'm sorry, by the way, my daughters like to watch this Dr. Pimple Popper, so that's probably what I'm talking about. Don't do it. Don't do it. I digress, right? But what he would do is this sore on his arm, it would open up, and he would pull a piece of glass out of it. He said, Dan, I've pulled out pieces of glass that were half the size of a dime that were hidden in my body. The healing process, bringing things to the surface so they can be removed once and for all. And I believe that the Lord is rising up the chaff, rising up the dross, rising up the impurities that will keep us from true faith in him. right now. I want us to pray. If this season right now has brought some old demons or some old dispositions or revealed some areas of your life that you desperately want Jesus to help with and take care of, I want you to slip up your hand this morning. You do realize that's why you got the Holy Ghost, because that's what He does. That's what He does. He convicts without condemnation. He convinces out of truth. And He loves you to life by removing things that would destroy you, destroy your family, destroy your society. I hold on this morning to that seed of faith. Jesus said this, He said, when the Son of Man returns to the earth, will He find faith on the earth? He will here, I believe that. He will in America, I believe that. If you say, Lord, and yeah, I mean, if you really mean this, because some of us might be about to lose it all, I'm telling you. Some of us might be about to lose it all. That's not a threat. That's a concern. The families would be destroyed and faith would be abandoned and bitterness would set in. But Jesus. We yield ourselves to the fire of God this morning. We yield ourselves to the Lord of the harvest. We yield ourselves to the sifting for our salvation. And let's just say this morning, Lord, change my mind, take it out of my heart. As the psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. As the psalmist said, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. Lord, our righteousness is not of us. Our righteousness is of You. And so we put our faith in You. I don't trust myself. I don't trust my love. I love people, but I don't trust people. I love people. I believe in people. But at the end of the day, my real trust is in You. And that allows all of my relationships to be a lot more healthy. So, Lord, we give ourselves to You in this way.